Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
We're back to Hour 3, Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Denise Dirks, Todd Keenan, and our producer, Cal Hunter. We've had a great first 2 hours. We're going to have to fly through this third hour because we have a lot of interesting stuff to go through. We're going to finish up with the Richens trial in Utah that's coming up, Michael Orr's case, the blind side, Tyson Plant being sued for closing. The breaking kind of news, too, is the 100-mile-an-hour crash case in Ohio of Mackenzie Shirilla. She has that case just went through and finished, and she was sentenced late Friday, and we're going to talk about that one, even though that's kind of a late-breaking case. And we've got a lot more to go through, but Cal, let's just get this case or no case done.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Geraldine Manfred just died. She had a very large family of loving children. She thought they were loving children, but it turns out they didn't like each other very much. And after she passed, they found a bag of wigs. The oldest sister and the brother went into the closet. Her mother passed from cancer and had a lot of wigs. So they started going through them. And the sister said, let's just throw them away. And the brother said, well, let's donate them so that maybe someone else could use them who's in the same condition. So he took them out, and one by one, out from the wigs flew cash. $22,000 of cash went flying out of these wigs that Mom had been keeping. Also inside, immaculate records of where all four other children had borrowed money from Geraldine. One got $30,000 and, according to records, never paid back as much as a dime. So Fred, the oldest brother, said, I'm going to keep the cash. You guys already got your money from her. Louise, the other sister, asked the other kids if they wanted to sue Fred for the $20K because they could all use a small taste. Yes, they went to a lawyer and said, do we have a case or no case? Fred, I think it's you, isn't it?
It's actually Denise, but I'll do it. Okay. I mean, didn't we?
Wait.
Oh, it's me. No, I started it. I thought first. It doesn't matter. I'll start. So here's what's interesting about this thing. You can't determine whether or not those, even if she wrote the notes, those monies given prior to this were gifts or loans. And I don't think that it said these were, quote, gifts or loan on the piece of papers that she wrote down, right?
On her ledger, it said loaned to children.
Okay, loaned to children. Right, okay. Now. But does it say there's no evidence that they have to pay it back? And so my answer to that is the children cannot claim, it could have been turned into a gift, cannot claim that that is a loan that needs to be paid back to the estate. I'm going to say this is not a case. It's not even a scenario. Maybe it was a scenario, but I'm going to say it's just not a case, Cal, and there's nothing that was filed, but that's very interesting, though.
Okay, well, thank you. Todd Kinnon, what do you think about this?
Well, did you, in your setting up of the scenario,
yeah,
was there any sort of will otherwise involved, anything that she had that talked about the disposition of assets or?
Had a will, but didn't mention the cash.
Had a will, but did not mention the cash.
Right.
Okay.
She wanted that to kind of be, when you go through my stuff, you'll find it. It'll be a pleasant surprise for all you kids, I would think. I'm just thinking as an older person.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll say that this is a case, and the older brother, the guy who found the money in the wigs, does not have a claim to just go ahead and keep it because of this ledger that had something to somebody else. He there's no reason why he should be entitled to it any more than anybody else simply because he was the one that showed up with his sister to help clean out the house after she died. So anything that was found in side of the house needs to be disposed of pursuant to the terms of the will. And he doesn't get to arbitrarily say it's just mine. So, yes, case by the other siblings, and older brother does not get to just arbitrarily keep the $28,000.
Okay, that's fair enough. Denise, what's your thought on this?
Well, my thought is if there was a will, there has to be a case if the estate was a certain value. Because you have to lodge the will, and then you have to probate the estate, right? So that would be a case. So
for lodging the will is a case. No, that's not. That's not a case.
It is too.
No, you have to file a lawsuit.
Nope. Nope.
Cal, what say you? I don't think that's a case.
I have no idea about that.
Okay, so filing a case, just because you lodge a will doesn't mean you're suing. That's not a lawsuit.
No, it is too. You open a probate and it becomes a suit. It becomes an actual case with the court, and then you have to work over the next year to probate that estate. And
well, I'm sure that, but that's not what I think. We got to figure that out, because if it's just opening a probate, or that's not, I don't see that as a lawsuit, and that's, I might want to.
My view is if there's a judge involved and a lawyer involved, it's a case. If it's just the administrator in the county, you know, then I would say probably not. That's just my thinking, but I obviously don't have any training in this matter.
Okay, I'll stick with my answer.
Your answer is no case?
No case.
Your answer was?
My answer was case, and the older brother does not get to just keep the $28,000, ultimately.
And I'm going to say, I think that he tried to do the triple no case thing, so I'm going to say no case.
All right, Cal, tell us.
All right, I'll give you the answer here. At the funeral, the children all sat together and wept together and reconciled. And the oldest brother said, listen, I'm sorry. I thought $5,000 for each of us would come between us. I was wrong, so let's not go to court. Let's just figure it out amongst ourselves. And so there was.
It was no case.
But a true story.
It was.
Yeah, true story.
So what happened with your family with that, Cal?
No. Believe me. Nobody in my family left $20,000 undiscovered laying around.
So speaking of that, I thought you were going to get into this, Cal, that they took the wigs, they gave them away to, you know, Desert Industries, and they. Someone at Desert Industries found the money, and the question is it still the family's, or is it Desert Industries?
I know people who have worked there who cherry picked all the time. I had a guy call me up one time and said, hey, Cal, I got a great Nikon. I said, where'd you get it? He said, oh, well, I'm the intake guy at Desert Industries.
Right.
I gave him, you know, $5 for it, and now I'm keeping it, and I'll sell it to
him. No, and I know that's what happens. And ready for the story of the century?
Yeah.
My aunt was a curator for an extremely wealthy man that was from Los Angeles that was Carnegie's partner.
Oh, wow.
And in the steel industry. And he moved from there in L.A., and he was, in fact, he owned just blocks and blocks of part of Los Angeles in the, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, and he passed away. And my aunt, and he was kind to my aunt, and I've got, my aunt actually had pictures of, he had gold, like real gold, like on his swimming pool, the filling thing, it was real gold.
Oh, man.
All the fillings. So, but we had this one thing that was an ugly, you talk about ugly, you've never seen ugly before until you've seen a vase, You know, see those big ones that stand, you know, they're like probably 3 feet tall.
Like an entryway kind of a,
and my mom, it was green.
Like
my,
Ming.
Yeah.
A Ming vase.
Yeah, and we throw our umbrellas in there, and we throw our basketballs in there, and all of our family passed away. And all that was left was my older aunt, and that was one of the things in my mom's thing, and nobody wanted it. We sent it to Desert Industries.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you, about a week later, my aunt calls and goes, what'd you do with that thing? I said, well, why? She goes, oh, that was a very, very valuable such as us that came from the estate worth probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're calling down there. No, I called Desert Industries. No, it's gone. Are you sure it's not there? No, it's gone. Yeah, I know why it's gone. So we messed up, that's for sure. So be careful when you get rid of stuff. You better check the internet. We'll be back after this and talk a little bit more about that Utah case. Then we're going to get into about 500 other cases, and we're going to fly through.
Thanks, Fred. You're listening to Radio Law Talk on great local radio stations all across this great land of ours. And many of you are listening at RadioLawTalk.com. And wherever you're listening, we thank you. And we'll be right back in just a little bit here on Radio Law Talk.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
This is Frederick Penny, host of Radio Law Talk. I'm excited to announce myself and Mark Victor Hansen, the author of the famous Chicken Soup for the Soul, collaborate to bring this three-book series, Goose. Book one is about William Collins. Goose is the perfect gift for yourself, family, friend, or someone you care about. Great stories, lifelong lessons that you can apply to your life to help you to become successful.
Goose by Frederick W. Penny. Available on Amazon Books now.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this gutter shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick car wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Come on.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Know someone?
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Oh, that's down.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
We were talking about Corey Richens' case, the Utah mom that's allegedly they're prosecuting her for putting fentanyl in her husband's drink. And Todd and I are going to do a really quick. They just... as we said, the last hour, they decided not to seek the death penalty, and it's probably because she's got two, three little kids and three little boys, and dad is dead, and now even if mom did it, and again, she's innocent at this point, it'd be devastating to have the kids watch mom be put to death, right? So they've agreed to that, but the evidence to me is very interesting, and Todd and I are going to kind of go back and forth a little bit about, here's the first and most important thing that's interesting. He died of fentanyl overdose, and there is a person that's going to testify that was the drug dealer, and this drug dealer is going to testify that it's a lady, sold fentanyl to her on two different occasions. Not only on two different occasions, but there was an actual check written out to this lady for buying the fentanyl. However, this person was their house cleaner and would also clean their business. They had a business together, and she'd go down to the business and clean the business. But the check amount was unreasonably high during this time period when the check was supposedly received. The second thing that's interesting is she took out life insurance policies on her husband that were came up to approximately $1.7 million. There was an argument back, and again, this is the prosecutor's side. There's arguments back and forth about buying a $2 million home. She is a realtor, and he owns, I don't know if she owned part of it too, a construction company that was very successful. By the way, the area they were living in was a very nice part of Utah, and it had the nicer homes. The other thing that's interesting is she didn't have time to, the allegations are, she didn't have time to do anything with his funeral or plan it, and she let his side of the family do it because she claims that she was too distraught. Yet she bought a $2 million home during that time period and was doing real estate. The other thing is on her, and by the way, she wrote a children's book called Are You With Me? It's about the death of a father and how you deal with that. And then finally, on her computer, the following was found. She searched the following phrases beginning in April 2022. Luxury prisons for rich in America. How long does life insurance companies take to pay? Can you delete anything from an old iCloud account? Can deleted text messages be retrieved? What information can be obtained from a cell phone? How to turn Find My iPhone off? Can cops force you to do a lie detector test? When does the FBI get involved in a case? What is considered a lethal dose of fentanyl? And what are you allowed inside Utah jails? So these are some of the evidence that they have and the testimony that's going to come before them. There's also forensic testimony that shows that her phone was pinging at these different areas that the witness, the drug dealer witness, testified that this is where the transaction came down, that the drugs were purchased, and all her pings of her phone were all at these specific places. Now, Todd's going to lay out a couple of things, and if Denise, you want to chime in, lay out a few things as defense, what he would argue.
Sure. From a defense standpoint, let's go ahead and talk about the life insurance policies. The life insurance policies were purchased between 2015 and 2017. So those life insurance policies were, they had been in effect for anywhere from 5 to 7 years prior to the date of the murder. And it's claimed that, and well, we don't know if Eric, the deceased, knew about the life insurance policies or not. He might well have known about them, the fact that she purchased them. If she had purchased the life insurance policies totally $2 million and he's dead a week later, that is suspicious. But we're talking about life insurance policies that have been in place for 5 to 7 years. And that leads to her researching on her computer how long does it take life insurance policies to pay out. Well, that search was done a couple of months after the death of Eric, and she knows she's got these policies, and she knows she's going to need income coming in, so there's a question about how long does it take. Maybe she's heard different things from folks about how long it takes those life insurances to pay out, the policies to pay out. The big question here is, what about this drug dealer that is currently in prison serving a sentence for drug dealing? And, you know, I think that is easily impeachable. First, let's look at what the drug dealer actually said. All the drug dealers confirmed is that she supplied Corey Richens with fentanyl. And what we don't know, and what I suspect is going to come out at trial, is Corey Richens probably saying, yeah, my husband and I did recreational fentanyl. We both did it. And that, and the reason I'm talking about lethal doses is because, yeah, still, maybe I still do fentanyl, maybe I've still got it, but he died. I would not have expected that he would have died, but clearly he took too much. So what is a lethal dose of fentanyl? I don't want to die. I've got kids to look after, right? And so, you know, we've got these, the searches for luxury prisons for the rich in America, and deleting things from an iPhone account. The luxury prison thing doesn't really faze me too much. I think that's easily explainable by her. Say, look, by the time I was searching this, I knew I was already the subject of an investigation. And you know what? I think innocent people get convicted all of the time. I wanted to see what I was looking at. I was trying to go ahead and assess what my liability might have been.
I think there's another argument there by the defense, and that is when you first purchase a life insurance policy, there's kind of a no suicide clause that generally says you can't commit suicide within 5 years. But after that 5 years, that clause goes away, and a suicide may be covered underneath the policy. So she could argue he knew about the policies, he knew about the suicide clause, he waited the 5 years, and then he offed himself.
Yeah.
Wow, we got a lot. Geez, why don't we go over a couple more things. Todd, I want you to comment, or Denise also, about what he said to his sisters before he died about she had possibly tried this before. We want to talk about that.
Sure.
We've got a lot to go into. We're going to be booming. We'll be back.
Not much time left on Radio Law Talk, so turn up your radio or your computer or your phone. Just keep listening. You won't want to miss any of it right here. Aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
Call 800-676-0151. 800-676-0151. 800-676-0151.
Attention. If you owe back taxes to the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533. One-Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533. One-Stop Tax Relief Shop.
USA News Update. Legendary The Price is Right game show host Bob Barker is dead at the age of 99. His longtime publicist said he died peacefully at his home Saturday morning. 4 days later, and there's still no proof that Russian mercenary leader Yevgeny Prigozhin is dead. The leader of the Wagner Group reportedly died in a plane crash near Moscow on Wednesday night. Britain's Ministry of Defense said Saturday that while there's no definitive proof, it is highly likely that he's dead. Russian authorities say Prigozhin was listed as a passenger on the plane. Civil rights groups are in the nation's capital to mark the 60th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic march on Washington. Martin Luther King III said it's a continuation of his father's fight for civil rights.
And we're coming together to say we must create the climate for America to move forward in a forward direction, not a backward direction.
75,000 people are taking part in the march and rally. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights. And you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
So Corey Richens, also the prosecution in that case is saying that the husband told the sisters that, hey, I think my wife's trying to poison me in with fentanyl, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. Corey can argue, yeah, we did get fentanyl. I think that's a good argument. We get fentanyl, but he used it himself. I didn't put it in there.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The statements that he made to his sisters about what she was doing, how is that coming in at all? And that is textbook hearsay, and he's not available to cross-examine because he's dead. And that's just... I don't see how any of those statements are coming in at trial. The jury would be able to hear any of his concerns about having, oh, she tried to poison me in a sandwich, and she tried to poison me with fentanyl and all this kind of stuff. And even if it did come in, okay, when did that happen? Years. And yet they stayed together, right? They were still together. He told you this how long ago? He told us this a lot. How many times did you get together as family, and they're going to show pictures and video of the family all getting together, and you're telling this jury that prior to this stuff here, family get-togethers, he told you she was trying to kill him, and yet you're still all chumming it up with him.
Well, not only that, you're still living. He's still living with you and still hanging out with you.
Well, I have a question. What about the change in his will? Is that going to be something going to be admissible?
They can go ahead and say that he changed the will, right? But they can't get into, and he changed it because he was concerned that she was going to try to kill him. I think that they would show that the change in the will to maybe try to show that she had motive. Look, he changed the will and wrote her out of it. They can use that. I mean, that's a fact. The will was changed, and the prosecution's spin on that is, and she was so ticked off that she killed him, right? So
we're going to follow this, but I want to jump into the other one in Ohio. This is a 19-year-old girl by the name of Mackenzie Shirilla. She's 19. She has a boyfriend that's 20, and then the boyfriend's friend is 19. And apparently there's testimony back and forth, and this is already done. They didn't do a jury trial. They did a judge trial in this case. And the judge in this case found what happened is around 5 a.m. in the morning, there's video of her in her car going 100 miles an hour and crashing directly, going off the road, and it looks like it's pointing right toward this this wall, and she hits it, and she lives, and the boyfriend dies, and so does the boyfriend's friend dies. And the evidence showed that the forensic evidence, don't forget, they have black boxes, that she accelerated right before this, never decelerated, never hit her brakes, and went. The whole argument to the prosecution was she intentionally tried to kill him because they weren't getting along. Apparently, there were some issues, and she in the past had even said, "Well, I'll just run the car into a wall or something," or she said something to that effect, or "I'm going to kill you with the car," something. I don't know the exact words, but so don't quote me on it. But that was their argument. But the evidence was very clear, according to the judge, that she tried to kill both of these individuals. And she was just sentenced to 2 consecutive 15-year to life.
Actually, the judge ran them concurrent.
Concurrent. I don't know. Yes. Not consecutive. What's concurrent mean?
Concurrent means they're running at the same time.
If it was,
if it was consecutive, it would be 15, and then you do it. So it would be 30 years.
So she basically has... It's 30 years then she's given. She's 15 years.
It's 15 for that, but there's also another count, I think, that she got 40 years on. So she's going to be there for a while.
Are you sure? Because I said something about it's going to be up to the parole board if you ever get out. Because what happens is it's 50, like, for example, 15 years to life means they could keep going. Was that right, Todd, with the parole board?
Yeah.
Could say we are still going to stay in there?
Yes.
And it's up to the parole board, right?
At the earliest...
I'm not ignoring Denise. It's just that Todd's a prosecutor and a former prosecutor, and that's why we're asking.
Oh, yeah, that's your story.
The earliest that she would be eligible for parole is after the 15 years on the indeterminate sentence of 15 to life.
Right.
She would be eligible for parole at that point in time. In this case here, I'll tell you, if it was just the boyfriend with her in the car when she did all of this. Now, look, there was evidence that she had actually driven the route the day before, mapped out. It was pretty premeditated. She knew where she was going to go. That's the argument. But if it was just she and her boyfriend, first, she would have only been looking at 15 to life. The reason there were two is because there were two people that were killed. But also, look, I think a judge could sit there and say, okay, I understand the mental stress between the relationship and all this stuff that's going on. That might have had more play. However, the fact that she still went through with the plan when a person who was not in a relationship with her was sitting in the back seat, the other friend, you know, what did he have to, his crime was he just happened to be in the back seat. Right? And so the fact that she did not change her plan, even though somebody that she was not in a relationship with was in the car, that adds to the callous nature of this accident.
Yeah, she didn't value human life at all. It's crazy.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, is right before this, the details are she went to his house and was yelling at him and pounding on the door to let me in, and she's threatening to key his car. He's going to break the door handle. You know, you open this door right now or you're going to be a serious blanking problem, effing problem. And just this craziness. How do you get – I'm not blaming him, but how do you now with that craziness, knowing that person's that crazy, get in her car? With her, you know, a car can be a weapon, right? And man, did she, an intentional weapon, you know? And so that's what's interesting to find out. So it's a sad thing, and it's just two young men's lives were taken, and her life and her family, and this has messed everybody up. But a lot of times, that's why teenagers don't think sometimes. They don't think straight. Michael Oher, we've been talking about, is The Blind Side. We listened to our show last week, but he has filed a lawsuit alleging that his, quote, and I'm going to call him mom and dad, even though that's not technically, that they did a conservatorship over him when he was 18, and they bamboozled him to take extra money from the show because and something to do with legal issues concerning whether or not he thought he was adopted and part of the family, but instead he just had a conservatorship. Well, we're going to follow this as the lawsuit pursues. We're not going to get into too much detail right now. I don't want to get in detail about this. But the big issue is we're now finding that at age 25, according to the New York Post, he could have ended the conservatorship. And so, therefore, this argument that, oh, I thought I was adopted parents and I should have, you know, even up to this date, I think he's in his 40s now.
He's 37, 38.
But he could have apparently, at age 25, gotten rid of the conservatorship if he wanted to.
Yeah, and you know, his argument that I didn't know it was a conservatorship, I thought it was adopted. Look, there's some evidence that people are looking at when they start peeling the onion on this thing. They're like, well, hold on a second. You wrote a memoir in 2011. It was titled "I Beat the Odds," and in the memoir, you referred to the Tuohys as my legal conservators. You didn't say adoptive parents. You said so. You knew what it was, and you could have terminated this thing when you were 25 years old. You could have terminated it, and if there were future rights to negotiate for the movie deal and what have you, you're free to do that. You just didn't, and so. You know, look, he's got another book that's out. And again, I've said this before. This is a legal action done in connection with or very close to the release of a book. If it wasn't for this making the news, I wouldn't have even known that there was another book that came out. So it did its job there. I think that the biggest thing for Orr is if the allegations are true that prior to going public with this, he had said, you know, look, pay me $15 million and I won't go public, which that is alleged to have happened. I'm saying it did or didn't. That's an allegation. But if that turns out to be true, you know, that's criminal in nature. That's extortion.
I would like to see what happened to his NFL profits.
Man.
I'd like to know where his monies are.
Yeah, he got some good money in the NFL.
Right, and technically, as in the conservatorship, there should be annual accounting.
We're going to talk about football player Dwayne Haskins when we come back. Actually, he's passed away. That case looks like it's settled. And then talk about a Missouri respiratory therapist who have some real serious issues. And then the law firm, the lawsuit against Tyson plant closures. We'll be back.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. A little bit more coming up, so stay tuned. Contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
No fun.
Bill's just making up stuff that he's saying, right?
That's true.
Email the show anytime you'd like. Info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info. Info@radiolawtalk.com.
In Dexter, Missouri, the Tyson plant is closing, and there's been lawsuits filed by a family against Tyson Foods for closing. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. But you look at it. Apparently, the announcement to close, chickens cannot be transported very far away from where the plant is, where they, by the way, I love chicken, where they, you know, process the chickens. And there's a number of families that has these chicken farms within 45 miles of the Tyson Foods. And their argument is, it's not just a person that's working there. Apparently there was 683 workers were laid off. But the issue is this family who has a family chicken farm put in a lot of money into their chicken farm believing that they were going to be able to go ahead and they had this agreement with Tyson to send the chicken to have the poultry or their chickens transported there. And I'll bet, we don't see all the details. There's an agreement there. Tyson says they don't guarantee the plant's going to be there forever. But this family said that they believe that they had the assumption it would be there. They put a lot of money into the farms, the chicken coops, the chicken, facilities, and they're going to lose money and they're in debt now and are having issues. So that's the lawsuit that just started. We're going to see what happens, but, apparently, they've had this farmer that's suing for 29 years. So they originally served what's called Hudson Foods that owned the plants before Tyson acquired it in 1998. But they have 14 huge chicken houses.
You know Tyson's going to come in and say, yeah, you know, look, we had those last agreements around 2018, 2019. What happened in 2020 that affected almost every business in the United States?
Right.
And look, economically, we took a downturn like everybody else. We got to close the business. This isn't a charity, but we all have risk.
Yeah.
And you guys do, too.
I think that's a good defense.
So. Yeah, it is. Go ahead, Denise. You want to talk about what do you want?
The Maui fire situation.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that Lahaina was absolutely devastated by what occurred there, and it reminds me of what happened in California. There's a very similar type of a reason behind the fires.
An argument.
Yeah, in Paradise, California. It was argued that PG&E was responsible for the start of that fire. And there's a concept about inverse condemnation. That's where the utility is a public utility, it's owned by our state, that you don't have to really prove much to get that inverse condemnation lawsuit and to recover money for damages to your properties you've lost in a fire where there's a utility that's responsible. Well, now in Lahaina, they're saying that the Hawaiian utility is responsible. They're showing pictures of it, and it looks like it's a pretty credible allegation. But Hawaii has never tested yet inverse condemnation. So this is something that is going to be watched very carefully in Hawaii. And I do think that it's going to be something that they're going to learn from California for.
Now, isn't it the key there is they have to show the utility is actually acting as a quasi-governmental agency, right?
Yes.
And so this inverse condemnation is closely related to the idea of eminent domain, where the government can come in and take your property under eminent domain. The argument here is, well, you might not have intended this, but because you're a government agency, you took my property because of the you condemned my property because of the malfeasance of this quasi public agency, the utility, and so we're entitled to money, and it short circuits a lot of red tape and paperwork and sort of bunch you the head of the line. Right?
Yes, and the important thing about that is that that type of a strategy does not require having to prove negligence.
Yes.
And that is a huge issue, and I think that it's going to be used. Also, and I don't know, I haven't done this research, but I've been told by several credible sources that the actual state had just entered into legislation in June that if historical landmarks get destroyed somehow, then the state gets to take over those landmarks. And there was a lot of historical landmarks in Lahaina that were destroyed in this fire.
Wow.
So that, I think, would lend credibility to this inverse condemnation.
New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, it's always interesting when one team sues another. The Knicks are suing the Raptors. And here's the backstory. Their new coach, the Raptors' new coach, Darko Rajakovic. He wasn't a coach for the Knicks. He was just hired as the new coach for the Raptors, but has a friend on the Knicks staff, Ichekwu Azotam. And apparently the Knicks are alleging that Azotam was taking documents and things like organization plans, structure of the coaching, video operations, scouting reports, things like that. Azotam would take them. Using his Knicks email account, would then forward him to Azotam's own Gmail account, and then from there, Azotam would forward them from his Gmail account to the Raptors coach. So, obviously, it's like trade secrets and things like that. The thing that I found interesting in all of this was the Knicks said that the materials consist of secret proprietary information critical to the Knicks' efforts to maintain a competitive advantage. So I went and I looked at the Knicks' record over the last 10 years. In the last 10 years, they've only had two winning seasons. They're 309 losses to wins to 485 losses. My question is, what competitive advantage?
Nice. That would have been a good quick take, that's for sure. Dwayne Haskins, he was if you don't know who he is, an NFL player, a first-round NFL pick, and it was he was killed by a dump truck early in the morning of April 9, 2022. Now, Dwayne Haskins had 0.2% alcohol, blood alcohol, and they have just settled with the dump truck driver, the owners of the dump truck, an undisclosed amount, but they are suing a number of other individuals, total of 14 people and or entities, including the nightclub. Their argument is they're saying that someone basically drugged him up I don't know all the details. I haven't read the complaint, but there's a number of other allegations, but they've settled three of the 14 individuals out at this time. So that's all I want to talk about.
Do we have an amount there? Do we know how much?
No, they will not tell the amount.
It's confidential.
Confidential. Okay. And then I think, Todd, you wanted to talk about
Lawsuit out of Colorado. This one is just getting started. Apparently, the state of Colorado introduced a way to provide funding for parents whose kids were going to preschool, and then they denied funding for the parents whose kids were going to a preschool that was run by, I believe, the Catholic Church. And the reason was that that these folks were not eligible was because of some of the standards that they had put into place. Well, that lawsuit now is getting started, allegedly saying that you're discriminating against religious institutions because you're denying the funding to go to a religious-based preschool. And we'll see how that one turns out.
We also have a former respiratory therapist in Missouri that is finally, after this is 2001, 2002, has a famous booking photo. It says, quote, "I don't blank care" hoodie. But she's going to do some time, and then we don't have time to talk about it because we are running out of time.
But it is time for quick takes. And Fred, if you're ready,
yes, I'm ready to go.
You. Go ahead. Yeah.
All I got to say is, look, we talk about the divorces of Koster and Halle Berry. Well, all I got to say is Koster's going to have to pay $129,000 to his wife, and she's trying for $179,000. Poor Halle Berry has to pay a whopping $8,000. Wow, there's a difference between people who are actors and actresses or whoever's famous.
Wow. Todd, what's your quick take today?
This is what we learned from the Tyson Food case. The most important thing, yes, a chicken can cross the road, but not if that road is 45 miles long.
All right. And why would it do that? And Denise, what's your quick take?
Well, Halle Berry's had, just really has not learned from her experiences. She's had several marriages, several children with different men. In her first marriage, she had to pay $16,000 a month. Now, and she tried to move her children over to France with her current husband, and now she has to pay her current husband $8,000 for their child.
Well, we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.